Sounds nice.
Capital 263. What time is it?
Keep it real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis.
Welcome to Keep It Real Fridays. I am your social architect, Celatine.
And I'm Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce.
What's good, Brian?
Just chilling, man. I mean, it was a week of... Yeah, my DJs are so nice. Yeah,
man. Curfew careless.
Curfew careless. And it's like, yo, that one really pissed me off, to be honest. I got no kind words for people who only want to show face when they got bad things to say.
What's up, Sukustina?
I ain't got no kind words for such people.
Yeah.
If you really want to be helpful, then at least show up and be balanced.
When she
least.
Said you can call her. She asked you to call her.
Give her a call. I told her I'm not calling her.
But anyway,
I don't need to call
I've got some kind words for somebody out there. Thank you for the follows. Thank you for the subscriptions and the reviews on iTunes. Chichichi. We really appreciate it. What? You know? I appreciate you.
What you mean? You can chime in
and speak for yourself.
You're your own man.
I can't speak for you, Brian.
This is Keep It Real Fridays. You can't say we appreciate you.
So can I make some opinions on your behalf on this segment?
I never said that.
So then.
You think I don't appreciate you?
I don't know.
I'll be the bigger person here. We appreciate you for everything that you do and the love and support that you show. Keep It Real Fridays, including all the haters. What's up, Sukustina?
Okay, in the news,
what's going on?
Anyway, just a quick update. You know that whole Kiki versus DJ Marks thing?
It's
really getting out of control in my mentions on my thread. But
Marks seems to have settled that one though.
Marks seems to be doubling down on it. He's not taking back anything.
Do you know what? Let me explain something about Mashogago. Doubling down, we're just like I'm gonna podcast new turn on as level.
Okay, doubling down is basically when someone is in a risky position, they keep on doing riskier things.
It doesn't even. Marx did not even like hold back.
Yeah.
Are we gonna plug what Marx had to say here?
Yeah, sure. Let's get into it. Marxinator.
You played the diss track. Why are you playing the diss track? And you still remember on Thursday, what did I say? When you told me that track was number one on the hip-hop charts.
I said the people have spoken.
The people have spoken. So, you know, here comes another thing. You know, when you're on your timelines as a celebrity, you have to be, in as much as you're throwing out all that craziness, you also have to be kind of, it has to have a strategy to it. Because she created a monster here.
Okay.
Because let me start with where I was told this beef started from. Apparently, Holy 10 was on her timeline while she was freestyling, and he said, "You call those bars?" And then she quickly hit him back and said, "Yo, you're just a, forgive me for using this word, you're just a $15 nigga. You will never blow up." Unfortunately, you know, even Justin Bieber said, "Never say never." And she said, "Never." And, well, never happened again. You know, he blew up. Now everyone knows there's a kid called Holy 10. 20 years old, who has put her to the ground, and she cannot reply, so she's going after everyone who's playing the track. And she's complaining about airplay and everything else and stuff like that, but she's not willing to follow it up and really do what needs to be done when it comes to airplay. I mean, Ja Prazer will come here. She said she came through with her music and stuff like that. Didn't even send a DM just to say, you know what, I just dropped my music. Nothing. Here is to everyone who was on the timelines listening, watching the whole thing.
Okay.
And I didn't respond because I didn't want to fall into the trap that everyone else was falling into. The trap of being sidetracked. Do not get sidetracked. The issue is the diss track. The diss track is lit. The diss track is amazing. I have not heard a diss track like that in a while here in Zimbabwe. And of course, we've hosted enough the beefs from Kelvin to POI, Junior Brown, the legend himself, who you could probably not body even if you were sleeping. And, you know, we hosted his with Kelvin. We played their tracks back to back.
Let's get back to the basics.
Let's get back
somebody
to the basics.
Somebody dropped the diss track, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Drop the diss track. DJ Mox, please, it was listened to. Okay, fine. You can drop that track.
Okay.
The track was dropped. The person who was this received that track, heard the track, but could not reply.
Could not reply the
person
track.
Who dropped the track, but replying to the person who played the track. Okay.
We have to be there in the commentary. Could you got bodied? So what are you going to do? Are you going to come back and diss the guy, or you going to need assistance because of that's what I heard is happening right now. And I'm sure when the diss track that's coming out, which apparently is also aimed at DJs who are playing this track,
okay,
and DJs from the other station and stuff like that, we are actually in it. But you know what? It doesn't matter. We don't care. We'll censor those parts out. They're for the streets. We'll cut those parts out, but we will play the track and measure it up against Holy 10 once again. And just so you know, the problems keep mounting because I was speaking to Holy 10. He got in touch, and guess what? He's got another one. I kwete kuzambarara ba diss track. Dairai diss track. Respond to the diss track. We want to hear the diss track. Because at the end of the day, we are going to play the diss track. Vanoyimba, vachingoyimba, vanospakwa, vachingospakwa.
All right. That was Mox with zero regrets, very brazen with his truth.
I think Mox is being a bully, though.
How do you say
big
so?
Big bully.
How?
How can you say, I didn't play because even when you did drop off your music, you didn't DM me. So does everyone who needs to get played by Mox need to drop him a DM?
No, you know, sometimes you can get busy and some things can just, you know, fly past you.
Nah, it happens.
I mean, with the volumes those guys take in daily.
Even it's
possible.
I have nothing against Mox, but even as a media person, I know you're actually supposed to be like the mediator as well. Maybe short media. So if you're taking a side, like even
no, I respect him that he addressed the issue and he doesn't seem to be like saying I'm never gonna play your tracks. He actually said, "Hey, if you got a track, put it on. Even if you're dissing us, put it on." Though he says he'll censor that bit, but
he's not playing fair. Really.
Keep it real, you know. The show is not called Keep It Real. It's called TXO
Box
on Star FM.
Now Kiki's actually like the underdog in this, you know. I think maybe in the beginning Kiki bullied Holy 10, and then now Mox is bullying Kiki.
I just want Kiki to just hit a fire track, man. That's all I'm waiting for.
I don't think she'll respond.
I think she will, but I'm just scared on how hot it will be in comparison to Holy 10's track.
She'll probably send the mafia to sort that out. That's what queens do. She's got soldiers on deck to sort it out for.
Soldiers on deck?
She doesn't. On deck.
Oh, on deck. Okay.
Maybe.
Now, she's one of those she-males. What you saying?
Awkward. Awkward. Keep it moving.
Me and my big mouth.
Keep it moving.
What's up, Socostina?
Capital K's brother got shot.
Gaia,
I thought maybe he got shot somewhere else.
Zimbabwe, bro. Like, near Belgravia there. Like, he just got caught in crossfire and pa 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 pa. Dude gets shot. I think he got shot twice.
And even got shot at. I think he managed to get out of the car
and run.
I think that's adrenaline right there. Like, you still.
No, that's shock.
You got shot,
flight.
But you're still running.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
I hope they really sort that one out. And funny enough, it was never like, I didn't see a headline on that. It was really on the hush hush.
They need. It's just sad.
Should we make it a headline? Are we safe? We do.
Let's
leave it to politics on Beyond on Capital 263.
But anyway, our prayers are going out to Cap City and his family. It's a good thing that the guy, you know, he's recovering. I saw Cap City's update. The guy is recovering. He's at home. But unfortunately, the lady he was with, I'm hearing the damage was a bit more severe.
Come on.
But our prayers are with her and her family as well.
Prayers go up.
Yeah.
And on a lighter note, there was another sex tape leak this past week. I know it's not hip hop, but we know we talk. I think six tapes belong to the hip hop fraternity.
Papa nong era asta mdarong waribo manunzi jeti star. And when I saw that name, I thought it was Marcus Mafia's
Monica as well.
I thought it was Marcus Mafia when I heard the name. Ah, but that's when I started. I was like, no. But that chick, I don't wanna quit.
She's got a body for things, but you know what?
Her friends
were defending her online, saying she was probably unfit mentally at the time and basically battling depression.
Shame. Sorry. Sorry to her for that.
But she really, I don't know, she really seemed in control of all that. She even held the camera at some point and even gave some, I don't know, man. Hey.
It's just a good mental health, what, you know, it's best to just leave it and just be quiet. Because
and people are saying, hey,
we just saw the sex tape. That's what we wanted to see. That's all people wanted to say.
Dude was taking advantage.
I'm speaking for people. Okay, but who says the dude was taking advantage?
I saw someone saying dude was taking advantage of and whatnot.
She didn't. You know what? We spent too much time on this. It's not hip hop. Next.
Anyway. Get well, Terry. Get well. Our next bullet. What we got? Zim Connect. You know, I was actually partying with Stan on Sunday.
Tell us about it.
And I didn't know. And then when I wake, mid afternoon later on, I see dude is already snapping and he's in the UK. So I'm like, what? So there's Zim Connect 18 going on right now. Stunner, XQ, Trevor Dongo, Amara Brown. They are there.
Shout out to them, man.
I think it's going down. Amara's performing this Saturday. So I'm not sure if Stunner is performing on the same day as well or if they've got like different days, but I think the UK is quite lit. It's the place to be.
Y'all better kill it. Indigo. Represent Zimbabwe while you still kunokuti chidzingirana nekanzuru nemakombi and what.
If you're listening from the UK, you need to pull up on Daradzio
exactly.
And Queen Mokoko
mm-hmm.
and Mr. Pudidi. I don't know what Trevor Dongo's nickname is. Anyway, you know.
Ameno asriogruane gunduru.
No comment.
Don't go to Mr. Black Belt. That's never used.
I refuse to comment. I refuse to laugh.
Pangwe Black Belt, he actually is for receiving blows.
What's going on? My goodness.
Sorry, Trevor. But I saw the video somewhere.
I'm joking.
Next.
I bumped into Jeezy. Speak my people.
Jeezy, what's up, dude?
Hey, Jeezy's a cool guy. Jeezy, Trae Young.
Dude is always laid back, Jeezy.
Very laid back.
Always laid back.
Yeah, when the time is right, guys. When you see us putting them on posters and whatnot, on those flashy posters, the curved posters, then you know, okay.
Keep it real Friday's posters.
Then
nah,
you know,
man.
Okay, it's about to get lit. And Changamire Festival is going to kick off at, what's that? Chitsua Restaurant?
When is it?
Date? Saturday?
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow.
Happening. It's going down. So make sure you pull up on the scene and just dap up with Zimboy over there and just see what the artists have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think that's about it. That's it for the news. But just to recap on some of the feedback from last week, people really loved that Major Players Pluck. That song we played. People loved it. They were like, but they don't have a Twitter account.
Major Players, y'all need to do something, man. Can I come back?
I think it's only Chilla who's still somewhat in the game. He's got one foot in the game.
We need to talk to Chilla, man.
Yeah. But we're still charging him, you know, because he can't. It's thousands. You know that. Oh, no, he's not active anymore. If someone hasn't checked out the game, we'll still charge you like you're in it. So, Chilla.
You want to hate on a great?
No. Chilla. I'm just saying Chilla.
Anyway,
he needs to come back.
Speaking of greats, we're moving on to Give Me Five. We're now moving on to Give Me Five. And after Give Me Five, we're going to have one of Zim Hip Hop's pioneers.
Yeah.
If not the... No, he's not actually. Because of... you're going to hear his story.
Okay. He actually checked out, so I got respect for him. So.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
anyway.
I could have been giving him the Kwame Fatso treatment.
So it's Give Me Five next.
Yeah.
at you and give
and this is my guy right here, man. He's a young gunner. I'm really
Comrade Fatsoga, really you need to come here and shut this boy up. Like seriously.
He's been threatening to drop an album ever since that day when we
I think he needs to like
bumped into him.
Show you good
Nah, he's done.
We got Gimme 5 coming up next, and then after that we got the special guest, Mr. Herbert Schwanborn.
Hey, better not talk ish about my
AKA
yeah, man.
Metaphysics.
All right.
In the beauty. I'm Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce, and this is Keep It Real Friday.
And I am your social architect.
No one gives a shit.
Keep It Real Fridays with Shelatine and Brian Willis.
Yo, what's up? What's up? Keep It Real Fridays. It's Fucci. I'm a hip-hop artist, fashion designer, founder, and CEO of Grind City Grind Time, which is a clothing line and a music group with other artists in the record label. I won the Best Performance Act with Kiki Badass at the Changa Media Hip-Hop Awards, Best Hip-Hop Group, Best Hip-Hop Brand, and Best Newcomer Nominee. My music group, Grind City Grind Time, is dropping a mixtape in the first quarter of the year titled Young and Hungry. You have to look out for that one. You know, new videos coming out very soon. I have a track on deck with my cousin Shuva titled Batata, which is a motivational trap song for all the street hustlers who are hustling in the streets. Hanzi, boys rangure patara, hustle seekers up a dara, patara ndakabwa kudara, been grinding since 19 kudara. So keep it real with me and rate my song out of 10. Keep It Real Fridays. G. Brrra. It's Fucci. Representing Grind City Grind Time. Keep It Real Friday. Boys around with a batara. Hustle seekers up a dada. Batara and a cup of kudara. Dada. And grind is the center of the dada. G. Batara, batara, batara. Dada. Dada. Money with a dada. Bada. Hustle seekers up a dada. And grind is the center of the dada. G. Batara, batara, batara. Dada. Boom and a cup of kudara.
Selling goma, better watch out for the goma. Game macho Ronaldinho, going out to get siso. Bakushama kunge siso, nova siya mapastiko. Tora marisa casino, I got shoe on the reload. I got my homies chilling in the trap. They be vibing, listen to the track. All my homies run up to the money. Yeah, cause it's all about the money. Remember the Taurus that we will fall. We run the city and now you know. We got the keys, but I'm on a door. We got the game on the figure four. Batara, 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 batara. My bars over Akufashkia. Them niggas faking back by Zira. I kill them all, pissing Jang Zira. Overlap me the timekeeper. I'm chasing cheese, yeah, I got it though. Any me need money more. Swat them wrong, niggas fighting for bitch in the thong, got me feeling like Taliban. I've been on for a minute. Yeah, I was born in the business. My niggas all too ambitious. Tending them niggas all in the feelings. For cheetah. To my daughter, Batata, we're moving to Gaja. Gaja, with the beat like a monster. Monster, this level's this with a jazz. Batata, 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 young rapper never forfeit. Always focused on the profit. Bangers, shakers, up a data, not for my hollers like we in an orphan. Must go back and get much a rip. Dover, my rap and get Wolverine. My own daughter sipping medicine. They can't shake us here with balancing. My boss and get my tea, I spit. And sat in the sofa to fit. Mari to Tora, causing commotion, so don't make a more. Yeah, yeah, Shuba, we bet. Tora, my rap, don't know, can't damn back. You got my money, you should never slack. I end up buying a new body bag.
And that was Fucci on Gimme 5 this week.
Not sure why Fucci considers himself an up-and-coming. To me, it feels like he's already up there with the Kiki Badasses and the Marcus Mafias. I wouldn't consider them for Gimme 5, but I guess these are humble beginnings. Anyway, I'm just going to say this. I'm not really a fan of trap music. So, yeah, this might lean a certain way. But let's ignore that and put across the facts that let's ignore the facts that it's from a Zimbabwean and we Zimbabweans like shitting on everything Zimbabwean. Let's put aside that it's from Fucci and he's in Kiki Badass's entourage. This track, I think, would set any club on fire. I think it would set any party on fire. If you didn't know who he was or who he's affiliated with or whether you don't like them or whatnot, you would bop your head. The chick you're with would definitely rotate that booty like it's got bearings in it. So with that put in mind, I think this track does its job. So I'm going to give this track a rating of... a straight 6 out of 10. I'm Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce, and this is Gimme 5 on Keep It Real Fridays. Keep it locked.
Keep It Real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis.
Welcome to Keep It Real Fridays. I am your social architect, Celatine.
And I'm Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce.
And today we've got another big homie in the building.
Before we get there, though.
Rather, in his building.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
We're actually outside.
Yeah, his outside. Building.
Yeah.
So this is one of the first... This is like the first time we've had an official Keep It Real Fridays episode away from our house.
Okay, except for the Amplifieds.
Yes, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, we got the beast by the name Herbert Schwamborn.
Yay!
A.K.A. Mr. Physics. Metaphysics. Metaphysics, what's up, big guy?
What's good. Welcome to the garden, Flamingo Gardens.
Thank you. That's where we're at.
It's very serene. I like the ambience.
I really love the setup. And in the middle of it all, there's this one small little pillar with like a plaque on top of it. Okay, what you call that thing?
Zimbabwe Wood.
Straight to the point. What's that award for?
I think that's a lifetime achievement award.
Okay.
I can't remember the year. You looked at it last. Did it?
2012.
Did it have a date on there?
Yeah, it had like some markings. 2012.
2012. I was awarded a lifetime achievement hip hop, Zimbabwe hip hop award.
Wow, that's 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And great at math.
It sits outside in the garden.
Why outside, though? What if it gets stolen?
Who's going to steal that?
I don't know.
You know what? This is going to be...
Maybe just put the value up.
Is this metaphysics' way of saying these things are worthless?
I was just, you should see ours, man. It's like a gold flag.
Oh, you guys got at least. Okay.
We got one for best online media last year. Keep it real.
Still fresh.
From who? From Hip Hop Awards?
It's in Hip Hop Awards.
Oh, so yeah,
they stopped these. Who did these?
They must have dropped on someone's baby or something. And then they're like, okay. Let's just make these ones, which they just put on their walls.
All right. I like the garden version.
Yeah, this one. Yeah. I think this one, if you're like a rapper, but from some of us, we're just like the media guys.
Okay. So you got
this
the
one
plaques.
Is more fitting. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's somebody grabbing a mic. We do use mics.
Not true.
In our field.
Not true.
It's just not for the kill somebody bars type mics. But
do you feel that you've like reached the pinnacle of your success, or there's still a lot more to achieve as an artist?
I don't know. I think I'm in retirement, man.
Okay.
I'm in retirement. So I'm just having fun with it.
Right.
You know, I stay busy. But I think I had my peak, man, back in the day already. Mm. So I'm just enjoying early retirement, late retirement, whatever it is. Well, I think in hip hop it's late retirement, isn't it? By 40, 44,
you're
45.
44 now, yeah.
So
that's very late retirement.
That's like late retirement
very
in hip hop.
Yeah. Because early retirement in Zim hip hop, that's like retiring at like 16.
Oh, okay.
That's what they call it.
So yeah, I haven't retired though, but I'm kind of in the in the, you know, I still pick up the mic once in a while.
Yeah. The metaphysics has an interesting background.
Very interesting.
Your Your mother's Zimbabwean.
Yes.
Father's German.
Yes.
So how was it like growing up in a household with like two cultures?
Okay. I mean, firstly, it was a really complex time to be born. Zimbabwe, 1973, it was actually Rhodesia.
Okay.
On the 8th of December, 1973, born in the ghettos of Harare, 1973. I had a vision coming down like it was heavenly. I had no fear because I knew what she was telling me. Anyway, so brought up during that time, I couldn't live with my dad because of, you know, just the racial tension.
Yep.
So I grew up, I was born in Bare.
Yeah.
Then I had to live in Westwood. And then had to go to kindergarten, or what you call nursery school, here in Acadia. So it was a complex time, man. And I think the whole country was culturally divided. So it was, for me, the norm then, you know, to just grow up with all these divides. White people didn't associate with black people. Black people with coloreds always beefing. And so I grew up in a very, very hostile environment.
Yeah. What was your nickname back then? I'm sure you had a nickname.
Ngara Dodi.
I did not see that coming.
You know what? I barely shit this, but I also lived in Bari for a bit, so I had my own nickname. I'm not going to say it today. So I know.
You better not kill yourself, so yeah. Don't give me that nickname.
Yeah, so I know you definitely have your own stripes out there.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Man. So yeah, it was a norm, man. So yeah. I didn't feel, you know, because like I said, racial pressure was everywhere, so to grow up in a mixed family was just like, that's my sitcom, that's, you know, that's my world.
So was there a point where, like after independence, your parents were together now?
Yeah, independence, 1980. Mm. Yeah, you just told me today was Mugabe's birthday.
Yeah, yeah. Although you're not supposed to say that because people are not supposed to know that because this comes out on Friday, which will be the 23rd. So now people know that we're recording.
Oh, that is pre-recorded.
Maybe our song guy will. Maybe our song guy will scrub this out.
Nah, you should keep it real.
Yeah. And honestly, for me, every day is a Friday anyway. So yeah. After, you know, like independence, yeah, things most definitely changed. Like this neighborhood that we're in right now, Mabel Rain, all these houses were actually for the Rhodesian Air Force. So there was like only white people here. And 1980, they started fleeing like crazy. So these properties became mad cheap, which, you know, meant my dad could actually then buy my mom a crib, which is this crib. And I was one of the first people of color on the street, and within maybe a year to 2 years, more and more neighbors started moving in, and yeah, it slowly became what it is now. So yeah, man, I think there was definitely leaps and bounds after independence, but as a young person, you don't notice that, you just go with the flow. So
because parents protect you from stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You know, for me, more significant changes are the old black and white TV becoming the color TV.
Yeah.
The color TV becoming flat.
The color TV getting a VCR. The VCR becoming a... It went from Betamax to VHS. We had the first VCR we got had that cable, that long. It didn't have a remote that you with the infrared. It had a cable, so you had to have like a 20-meter cable from your VCR, and then to have the infrared remote, and then the flat screens, and then so those are significant changes in my life, man. The rest, man, this is what it is, yeah.
Okay, all right. And how like influential were your parents in like helping you make your career choice?
It wasn't really a career choice. I think it was more influence of the neighborhood. This neighborhood had a lot of very talented MCs, breakdancers, and just hanging out with the kids in this hood just influenced me, you know. And I was always the kid who had either the beatbox or whatever it was. So if kids wanted to do their tapes or whatever, they'd end up coming here. So I just by default end up being involved in what was happening at the time. And that obviously then influenced and motivated me to participate in order to, you know, be part of those social groups that I found fascinating, like that, you know, that the breakdance kids always went on adventures and stuff like that, and I was always the younger kid, so to go with the older kids on these adventures through the hood, whether it was like I remember like a party at the church, you know, they used to have discos at the church and things like that. To be invited to those things just meant, you know, you were part of the older group. So that's where that influence came from. My parents didn't really have influence on that.
You know how most African parents would be like, no, you need to go to school.
German parents are worse. Like my dad was, that's all he believed in. Because he came back from, you know, he was born in Germany after World War II. Yeah. You know what I mean? So for him, an education was just the way out of poverty, you know, especially coming from a Germany that had been destroyed and they were building up. So it was all about education. So I think I was a great disappointment to him in the early days. But towards the end, he started appreciating what I do.
You know, when they see the checks coming, that's when they start to believe.
Say, especially okay, my checks started paying his hospital bills. You know what I mean? So that's when it became very apparent to him that, wow, okay, this art form is actually keeping me alive at this point.
And it's actually good. All right, we're going to take a quick little break and we'll be back with the living legends, Metaphysics.
This is Keep It Real Fridays, and I'm Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce,
the social architect.
And me.
Keep It Real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis.
Yeah, one pass, I miss a girl.
And this is international.
Hey, I don't want to love a thing about it. You should go pay more one more than that. Permission is off for the guy, man. Spala, pala, it's one pass, I miss a mom. Now me no stress, no stress, no stress, no stress, no stress, now. Mom, now me no stress, no stress, no stress, no stress, no stress, no stress. No stress, no. Just press any button that you want, I'll flex. I got you on my mind, yeah. Mommy, you so fine, yeah. Really can't picture me without you. Plug in my ears, what they say about you. I ain't tryna hear that about you. They tryna fit it to me, so I doubt you. But in any that repeat up butera. Yeah. We can fix that with a bit of that. Get you all you want, cause then it's full.
Alright, and we're back with Metaphysics. So my guy, I'm just curious, like back in the 90s, you know, people were always shopping for especially if you're like overseas, I'm sure you're shopping for like international deals. Was it like difficult at any point or just kind of fell on your lap?
Yes, yeah, so like I was explaining, this neighborhood was one of the most influential hip-hop communities in the early hip-hop era of Zim hip-hop.
Yeah.
We had everybody just blocks away. So we'd, you know, commune and do what we did. And my first group was called Lethal Language. And it was me and a partner called Terry Mahati, aka Teller Rhyme, aka Kunta Kinte, exactly, aka Terry Guns. He is actually the guy who introduced me to the art form of writing my raps. Before then, I had actually, because of the breakdances in the hood, I started off as a b-boy, breaking. And it was at a school dance in Hallingbury, my primary school. I first went to Hake Park and then I went to Hallingbury, which is all in the hood. It was one of those school dances, and I was probably grade 6. He was already grade 7, or probably already in form 1 at Prince Edward. And there was a breakdance circle, and we were in it, we were going for it. And this kid, Terry, comes up, and instead of breakdancing, he did something that was totally unique. He started rhyming. And he started dissing me in his rhyme. Look at you, you just small. You got a head like a basketball. And I cried.
Tell me something.
I cried. I wasn't prepared for that.
Wasn't ready.
I was not ready for that. So the next day I made it a point to find that guy and ask him, dude, I know about rap, I know about hip hop, but what you did, you were just, did you make that up? And he was like, yeah, that, what I did at the school, that was freestyle. I was like, because all I had been doing was listening to like Grandmaster Flash, those kind of things, and trying to learn those words. I didn't know that you could actually go out and do it yourself. So this kid started showing me the process of how to actually write a rhyme.
So the bully became a friend?
Yo, became a mentor. You know what I mean? So
shout out to Harari Hustler.
And he was ill with a pen, not only lyrically, but he introduced me to the whole pen pal culture.
Yeah.
He used to write to all these people overseas to get stuff.
Yep.
So he'd always have the latest hip hop tapes. He'd have the magazines, the write on, the hip hop connections out of the UK.
What's the source out?
No, check it. Listen to the story. So he started writing letters to all these people. And he got us on, he got us first into Hip Hop Connection in the UK. So we were featured in that. And around that time, the Source magazine had just launched. He managed to get us in the third issue of the Source. We were in there. He got us on BBC. It was BBC One those days, but it was a young DJ by the name of Tim Westwood. Tim Westwood played our stuff.
Hold up.
You know, just on the back of the way that this kid would write letters, you know what I mean? And
you know,
because of that.
Sorry to interrupt you.
Go ahead.
Just to break it down for people here. Tim Westwood, if you Google one of Eminem's sickest freestyles, it was on Tim Westwood's show. This is the same Tim Westwood that he's talking about.
Yep.
So now you're in, now they're in contact.
He canceled on us last year.
Who, Tim Westwood?
Yeah, he was supposed to come to Zoom.
He had the football.
He got ill.
He got sick.
He canceled on us.
I think Tim's on coke, man. I think Tim Westwood has mood swings.
Yeah, I think
he has mood swings.
This was the second time.
It was the second time.
Why would you bring Tim Westwood here?
We heard he was coming. You know, Zimbo's in the love of international things.
Okay.
The people got excited.
I mean, if he came, it would be a good look.
He canceled on us like last minute.
Yeah.
So it was that Tim Westwood, love him or hate him.
Yeah, so that gave us the international exposure, the platform. So we started getting record deals from Jive, from Zomba, from Delicious Vinyl. But one in particular was called Hollywood Basic. And Hollywood Basic had signed up artists like Tribe Called Quest. They had Organized Confusion. They had a couple of other cats that, you know, went on to become, you know, hip hop's cornerstones. And yeah, Lethal Language was part of, you know, that roster. But unfortunately, just before we were supposed to fly off to go to California, there's a bat flying around. It's illest thing. Before we were supposed to go to California, the executive died, and his name was Dave Funkin' Klein.
Oh,
so
shame.
That was our record deal gone. And also, you know, because we went to the same high school with Dumi Sani and his brother Akeem Ndlovu. They had access to go to States because their dad was a minister or whatever it was. So they just went and, you know, accessed our contacts, basically. This is how I think the story went down. And they ended up getting the deal and doing Damage in My Native Language, Zimbabwe Legit single. That became the first like real hip hop video and first real hip hop single to come out of Zimbabwe. So already from that time, just through Terry's penmanship, to get back to your question, that's, you know, how we started accessing the market, just by using the media, just by the skills he had of actually being able to structure a letter, you know, put the date, you know, put your address, all of, he used to do it nicely. Yeah, for real, man. He used to do it nicely. And that kind of taught me how to access, whether it's, you know, whoever, man, how to write a letter.
But I'd like to know, like, how were the checks like, and who was, like, helping you, like, pick the right deal?
In those days, any deal was a deal. You know what I mean? We were happy to get whatever we were getting. It didn't matter. We weren't doing it for the money. That concept didn't even exist in our psyche. We were just doing it to get out, you know, and to put Zimbabwe. In fact, just to be, imagine like issue 3 of The Source and there's KRS-One on the cover and you in the same pages. Just to be in those pages was, you know, for us, the reward. That was just like, wow, we are significant to this movement that we all loved.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even about the cash.
But I'm sure it gets to a point where you're like, okay, I've satisfied this need.
You grow.
Yeah.
You grow. I mean, what I'm talking about is
Mama needs
12 years old. That was my exposure to the industry. So I was 12 years old when I was first in studio with these, you know, with these dudes. So by the time I was 14, 15, by the time I was 19, I already had albums. I was now signing significant deals. And that's when it became the next level of the, you know, of the game for me. You know, taking it serious to like actually build your own studio, work with producers, shop your CD, your demo, get the deals, contractuals. I was hit with my first record contract when I was 13 years old. I couldn't sign it on my own. I had to bring it to get reviewed by my parents because I was under the legal age.
Yeah.
And they had no idea what a record contract was. And I remember sitting in here with them trying to figure out what is this even? Why is it so thick?
Was the money making sense? Oh, it was thick as well?
Yo, record contracts back in the day are mad, man. They're crazy. And I had a thick
so much
Bible
fine print.
And my parents couldn't, you know, they didn't know what to do. And they, you know, they didn't think of getting a lawyer or anything like that. So already from like 13, I've had to do my own contractuals. I've had to do my own production. I've had to do, you know, and I've just continued. And you grow. That's what I'm saying. It's a growth. So with that become, you know, the checks get more relevance or whatever it is to the point that I started actually being able to make a living from this.
All right. And your little brother also saw the success, and I'm sure he was like, okay, I want to be like my boots.
Not really. I think I kind of pushed him into that.
Oh,
he had definitely other interests. He's like a basketball.
Okay. We're talking about Culprit.
Culprit for real. Culprit was more into basketball, but I was pushing him already since he was a kid. I was getting him jingles, like the Flavor Raver commercial. I think he did like maybe 2 or 3 commercials by the time he was like 8 or 9 years old. And I'd give him his money, you know. I'd like be like, okay, you see, this is yours, you earned it,
you
earned
some Birdman too.
I think he had he had in the background already that if he ever needed to, he could make money off this. He just have to, he grew up in it, but it was never his passion. And then, you know, I think just as he grew older, he developed and sharpened his skills to a point that he thought, okay, why not? I'll just, you know, I can do it. I will do it for the money. But I really wouldn't say that Culprit is as passionate as I am about hip-hop. I think he's just so exposed to it, he can do it on the whim, you know what I mean?
So basically, he's more like profit-oriented and you're like more purpose, like something you love. His purpose is longevity.
You see, he grew up just being able to see it translate into money. When we did it, there was no peers to take example from. We had to learn how to create our industry. Grandma and Pop Shop or whatever they used to sell records here was far from our minds. That was like, you couldn't access those platforms, you know, so he had to learn how to create the platform. And he was born when platforms existed, and kid, we were coming back home, counting money or whatever it was, from a commercial or whatever. So he grew up knowing the economy of the industry. So I think it's just a part of that growth as well.
That's quite deep. At least he had someone to look out for. So, but I'm just interested, you know, what did I want to say? maybe I can ask him.
Okay,
this.
Yes.
I'm going to pronounce the name of your group. So let me let Brian say.
No, I'm not going to talk about the group. I'm based on the history you just given us. Comparing those days and the artists that we have in Zim today. Right. What do you think that the artists of today are doing right and what you think they are doing wrong.
I think they're doing everything right and wrong. I think we're at a new defining point of the industry where your podcast could reach a very wide audience or it could reach nobody.
Sure.
And you could spend hours and hours looking at the analytics trying to figure out why is Dingy.com's podcast having 20 million and our podcast only has whatever it is, mm-hmm. yet we're on the same platform. What are they doing right that we're not doing right? And I think we live in a complicated time now where everything is so accessible, but it's also very hard to be significant in that. Sure. And you look at those who are significant and you just wonder, what, how? There's, you know, Gucci Man, Gucci Man, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, whatever it is, you know, whatever the kids are gravitating to. And you look at the numbers and you're like, how? You know, and I think as Zimbabweans, we now have access to those platforms. And it's now just about figuring out how we nurture our numbers. That's my dog, Diamond, by the way.
Sure, please don't let him out.
No, it's a she. Oh, a Rottweiler. She's a Rottie.
You never tell when you're being Rottie.
When you're getting munched.
Yeah.
So I think the kids, you know, like, who doesn't have a studio in Zimbabwe right now? You know, every kid got Fruity Loops. Kids are making amazing beats. They've indigenized their art form. They're spitting in vernacular. They can switch it around. Everyone's kind of influenced by the South African numbers. Everybody's trying to reach SA numbers. Then we got the Nadia Nakais, who are actually becoming significant players in those industries. We got the Tinashes now to look up to. You know, we got you name it. You just keep
Kiki Badass?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
What Kiki, where's the connection with Kiki Badass?
No, just naming, like,
there's a lot of artists doing their thing, especially in Zim and out of Zim in the diaspora.
I thought he was talking about Zim artists outside of Zim. Okay, that's nice. What I thought.
I was just talking about active artists, active studios. It's just so much that you can't do anything right or wrong. You just have to find your own avenue. You know what I mean? So it's there's no formula to it anymore. It's really just about who you are and how you manage to access your audience.
I don't know if, like, there's any Zim artist who has achieved what you have. Like, even with your group went multi-platinum.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite huge. Yeah, I don't know.
Sons of Mannheim?
Yeah, Zerna Mannheim.
That's in English.
Thank God. At least you can speak English.
Please say it in German.
Zerna Mannheim. Translated, it means?
Sons of Mannheim.
Exactly.
Just out of curiosity again, how many languages do you speak?
Two and a half. My German sucks. I speak Shona English and, like, really sucky.
Okay, so
German.
He speaks Shona. So if you see him in public, Hanyeke. Okay, don't talk about him in Shona, he'll hear it.
Do not try that at home. So
you basically sit for life, you know. So I'm thinking multi-platinum, publishing, all that.
Yeah, I mean, the royalty checks come in, for sure. But I think German platinum is not US platinum. Yeah, I mean, it's
the numbers are different.
They're totally different.
The numbers they consider platinum in the States, and the numbers they consider platinum in Germany, or even the numbers they consider like 1,000 copies is platinum.
Yeah, exactly. Like so
the numbers are different.
I feel sorry for the podcast because that dog's going crazy now.
No, let the dog be part of the podcast. We need the ambiance.
I don't even know what's going on, but yeah, the numbers are different. And then the band consists of 14 active front members. So by the time you're dividing the checks, by the time you're actually getting your piece, it's then just a stat. You might as well have a regular job. You know?
Do you divide it equally though? Because, like, let's say
depends on the project. Depends on the project. They set it up with this particular band. They try to set up so that everybody gets equal shares.
So it doesn't matter if you're the front man on the camera or you're the guy behind the scenes or you're just the person playing the hat. You're getting
exactly. Yeah, that's how they try to set it up like that.
And you had no Jerry Heller problems.
No, you mean in terms of management and stuff like that? No, because the thing is, the band is actually, the front man of our band is very successful as a solo act.
Okay.
His name is Xavier Naidoo. He's probably Germany's third top-selling artist. And during his off-season, because he is confined to the German market, he sings in German. Mm. So for him, his audience is Germany, Switzerland, Austria. And he can only do a certain amount of tours in a year.
Yeah.
And if he goes past that, he's just going to burn his audience out. So he always tries to do a tour in the beginning of the year and one at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But during the middle of that, there's a lot of money he could be making doing other things. So he set up this band so that he could still go on tour and front like it's not him, but it's this Sons of Mannheim project, mm-hmm. and still get his kicks of being on the road. So based on his success, he actually opened up his own label. He bought up executives from Sony to come and work for his label. He bought up some of the most significant physical distribution companies. He took them over, and he, within his own right, became his own industry. So there's nobody who can take that away from him, you know. So we don't have those kind of issues.
I'm also curious about, like, present day. Like, back then, you push for some youth issues on radio and stuff. Like, what does Metaphysics care about right now?
I'm very, very busy with the communities right now. That's actually why I'm here. I'm working with a lot of community projects. Mm. We got ties right now all the way up the ladder with the new government. So, you know, I'm an advocate for the change that's in process right now.
Mm.
And very, very engaged with some heavyweight community projects.
Excellent. And Motor Republic.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, I mean,
I think that's how this interview came to be.
Yeah.
Just saying. Motor Republic, shout out to you, man. Comrade Fatso.
That's him.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still engaged with all of that.
All right.
Okay, we've had a serious history lesson on this man's music background.
Mm.
But there's also the film aspect of things.
Mm.
He's known to have worked in front of and behind the camera, yeah?
Yeah, true.
Tell us about that. How did you end up getting into film?
Back to that first camcorder. It was actually first VCR, and then my cousins got a camcorder. And hey, they were just spoiled brats. They didn't even touch this thing. So I remember walking close to, who lives in Marlborough? You guys?
I live in Marlborough.
Yeah, walking close to Marlborough.
He stays where?
I don't see where I live.
Just to get my hands on that camcorder.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd make them just play little roles or whatever it was. So I just loved the medium and the technology. You know, I'm a tech head too. And I just loved the fact that you could film something and play it back instantly. And when we first recorded our first music video for Piece of Ebony, a film crew came from South Africa and they brought the kit, and I was just in paradise. All this technical stuff and the film and how they were loading, and I showed great interest in that. And the producer was like, "Oh, you really like this stuff? Why don't you come and work for us in South Africa? We're looking for a presenter of a show called Shell Road to Fame. You could be the host of that. And at the same time, my company also does most of the music videos. And if you want to, you can, you know, learn from us." So I really started at the bottom, but in one of South Africa's top, excuse me, I got a call. So let's take a break.
We're going to take a break right now.
My lawyer.
Yeah. We're going for a break.
Keep It Real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis.
I don't give a fuck, unless you relate. You know that I made it. I can see that you miss it. You're sitting in the midst of the crazy belief. Pop on the scene. Pop on the scene. Open the bins and switch on AC. I'm put by the lane. I bought a car. Fresh as a man. Now your fish can't blink. Came with some thoughts and lived with a bride before you could think. Puerto Rican for the woman. Gotta have Cuban on the list. Hot boy, ice cold chain. About to get humid in this bitch. Clutching onto their bitch. Here problem. Go Houston in this bitch. I don't know what you talking, what you hate for. I'm just doing me, and that's your girl. That's what she doing too. Oh, that's what you mad for. No, that ain't my fault, bro.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy Metaphysics. No gimmicks. You tuned in to Keep It Real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis. Done.
Keep It Real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis.
Exclusive.
All right, so who are you?
Yes, I'm your lawyer from Germany.
And okay.
This is very confidential, so I'm not very happy if you share our information.
What kind of lawyer? How do you represent me?
A guy like you needs representation in many different ways, but unfortunately I can't talk about that. Contacting you.
All right, thanks. You're a really good lawyer, man. I appreciate it. I'll speak to you later. I'll send you the link to the podcast as well. All right, peace.
And we're back.
Okay, yeah. You're back.
That was very rude. I should actually have switched off my phone.
No, we're at your house. We can't give you rules at your house, man.
I mean, yeah, but it's just...
we're talking to a living legend here, man.
So, what were we talking about? The BCR?
Yeah.
And getting that job in South Africa for SABC, becoming a host for like a primetime show. It was Fridays. It was one of the most watched television shows at the time. We used to expose talent. It was probably one of the first talent search type competition shows, like what they have now, The Voice and all of that. And through that, man, I learned so much of how to produce inserts, how to do videos. And I was working in the hub of one of the main... back in the day in South Africa, it worked like this. You got a deal with the label, and the label assigned you your video director or producer. And the chief, the head of Gallo Records, was married to the woman who owned the video production company. So he'd get all the artists, transfer the budgets to his wife, she'd do the videos.
Okay.
So they get the money in rotation like that. You know what I mean?
Almost sounds illegal.
It probably is.
You know? Conflict of interest
in South Africa. So I learned a lot from then, and I realized what the budgets the artists were actually paying and how much we were paying to get the equipment or whatever it was. So I was now living in the streets of South Africa, and I had direct access to the artist, and they'd come in, or you know, they'd come in the office. Like, I remember there was one guy called William Mtetwa. He literally came in with like 40,000 rands in a briefcase, like clack clack, opened it, and they were like, sorry William, it's not enough, you gotta go back and get more. And I thought yo, that video costs like 10 grand. William, I'm actually the guy who does the videos here. So that briefcase, do you really want to get the video done? And William Mtetwa was then the first independent video I did. I got the 40 Gs.
All right.
Ka-ching. 10. And also, it became a defining point in South African music videos, because these guys would always follow the same pattern. Oh, it's a black guy, so we'll film him in front of a hut somewhere with some people carrying whatever it is.
Yeah.
But by that time, we were now MTV generation, and guys wanted Beamers, and they wanted the chicks, and this and that. So I remember all he wanted for his video. This was, you know, when you ask a guy, so what's the concept of the video? His concept was this: just get me a brown girl that I can kiss. That's all he wanted.
Wow. Wanted to kiss a brown girl in the video. Ah, come on. For 40 G's? Come. Negro, I'll bring you a whole tribe of brown women. So I shot William Mateto. That was my first independent video. That went on to television in SA. That was the first, like, my first independent video. And from that, Arthur Vuvuzela had a label, which was called Triple Six. And Arthur was like a Kwaito producer who had like maybe 15 artists. Mm-hmm. So I told him, look, we could do this, but I don't need to hire a camera each time. Just buy me the Sony, you know. So with the Sony had just come out with the digital tape. So he bought me a Sony, and then I started doing all his artist videos. And it got to a point where like a large percentage of videos that started showing mm-hmm. were my videos. Okay. And that's when the old oligarchs were like, wait a minute, that's not ours. That's not our, who's doing this? And they figured out it was me. And they gave me 24 hours to leave South Africa. They're like, yo, you've been making videos illegally. You were not registered with the Film Union of South Africa. They just threw loopholes at me. Not loopholes. Yeah. They just what do you call it?
Red tape.
Yo, hey, 24 hours I had to leave SA because of that. But I left with a wealth of knowledge, man. And I learned to cut videos by splicing that with tape. And then I learned how to, what they call jog edit, with what you'd have to do is you'd film your video, then there was a thing called time code on the video, mm-hmm. and then you'd have to note on paper where your edits are going to be, and then literally go back later and punch in every single endpoint of your cut and out point, literally on time, based on time, and you'd have to edit mentally, punch it in physically, and then this, like, really archaic editing machine would either fast forward or go backwards to find your in and out points and trigger off the next machine next to it and cut like that. So I started like that. So by the time things became digital and all of that, I was cutting videos in my mind. By the time I had like Adobe, I think my first Adobe thing was Avid. I started with Avid. Yeah. First hands on Avid, it was just like, what? I don't have to punch in time code. Mark in, mark out.
You're done.
It became Edward Scissorhands, man. Mm. That's a skill that's actually still one of my main passions, actually, till today.
You know what? With someone with that much success, I don't know how you managed to, like, kind of make it out with no scandals whatsoever. I thought maybe when you're talking about the cameras, I was going to hear something about a little accidental sex tape or something, but nothing.
Ah, no. Those don't leak.
Yeah. Oh, they're there?
Nah.
Come on. In the vault.
Come on.
With the tape.
Nah. When if we ever needs that extra porn money, then we're gonna.
I'm sure you've seen like certain artists like before they've even really like 5 years in the game. Scandal is like overshadowing the music. But
I mean, these days it makes the artists. Shout out Stunner. You know what I mean? these days, man.
But some of it is like they're like unwanted scandal. So I think for something you planned and you calculated, then it's okay. But if it's something that just backfires and like, oh shit, this was not meant to come out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think also because I was always just attracted to like conscious like hip hop.
Yeah.
So that was always the movement. There was, you know, the KRS-One's, the Rakim's. It was always, you know, sort of clean movement.
Nasir.
Yeah, the Nas's and stuff like that. The 5% Nation. That whole movement was back in the day actually very clean. Like Rakim's record. Like Rakim is one of my greatest inspirations. There's not one single swear word on the first Eric B. and Rakim record. There's no swearing or anything like that.
No swear word on Paid in Full?
Paid in Full? No, I don't think so. I think Rakim is actually one of the few artists to actually never curse. Mm. You know, so those kind of scandals. we were intellectual wordsmiths. Mm. You know, mm-hmm. like my generation, my culture was about proving your intellectuality.
Into the words in the right.
Yeah,
space.
Exactly. Yeah. So the, you know, to slip up and have a sex tape or something like that, that's just sloppy, man.
Yes.
I think people are running out of ways to capture people's attention. That's what I'm.
Yeah, I did just read now how
Black China's giving sloppy head. Like, who cares?
But she's actually, like, filing with the police. Like, yo.
Yeah,
trace
but.
Trace this guy.
Yeah, but come
that
on.
That was not planned. I'm sure
nah,
she's.
Nah, she just. She follows in Kim's footsteps.
They call it what? Shock marketing or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, with the silver contact lens, vampire teeth, and sex tapes, and blah, blah, blah. I think people are just running out of ideas.
Especially that generation, because those people are old now. We live in influencer times now, you know. Those tactics, the kids are not interested in that. It's oversaturated anyway. So, yeah. Question next.
All right. Let's just head to the break. And we'll be back with our final segment. We're going to twist this one up a little bit. It's a social architect, man.
And I'm Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce.
He owns you must realize that tonight is not for going out, brah. I know it's a Friday and everything, but ish, we have to stay inside and listen to the podcast there. What you mean, which podcast? You don't know about Keeping It Real Fridays with the other own seller team there and Brian Willis, brah. Those ones come through and they invite the best hip-hop owns and they be playing the best hip-hop music there and everyone is packed and ish. It's like going to the club without cutting.
And we're back with the main event and main segments.
I'm not sure if I like this one because this one's getting remixed. It's getting remixed. It's not the normal one. So you're going to give it a name.
It's called HAV or HAV.
That sounds like HIV, man.
But anyway, with the musical twist, don't it? Yeah, people are used to the
idea what's going on for your information.
Anyway,
I don't know what the hell these boys are talking about.
Let me explain to you what the previous segment was. It's called SMF. Smash, marry, or friendzone.
Mm.
And we give you three female names and you choose who you smash, marry.
Yeah.
But we decided to change it due to the fact that it felt a little disrespectful in your
plus, you know, we just need to switch it up. We did the same with Courtney Antipas when he came through. I don't know if you know him. LC.
No. Oh, LC, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was about like, whoa.
Okay, okay.
Homies are known out here.
Okay, okay, okay.
All right. So with this one, it's called HAV. Not HIV.
You gave it a name, bro, not me.
Hook, album, or verse.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just going to call out like three names, and you can just designate who you'd let do a hook for you, or who you do a collab album with. Or whose verse would you take
all
for
right, cool.
project?
I like
views?
This. Yeah, I like this game.
What a fantasy project! You never know. Hopefully, we can make it.
All right, go ahead, man.
So hopefully, we can make this fantasy project happen one day. So the names are drumroll, please.
Wait. Hold on. You're gonna give him three names, right?
Yeah.
So with each name, you have to choose only one option for each.
I got it.
Yeah, cool.
He got it. Alright, so the names are Begotten Son, Cynic, Comrade Fads.
They all got HAV.
Alright, Begotten.
Mm.
The guy.
I've done a lot of work with Begotten.
Mm.
I've had him on Hooks Versus videos, and now I'm digging his political sense of mind and his swag with Lumumba and what they were doing in the jungles of the revolution. I would give Begotten, I don't know if these verses are still intact though. I don't know. Begotten, I think he's doing a lot for the kids. He's giving kids great platforms.
Mm. He recently did Expect Us, and from the, I can safely say his verses are still intact.
Okay, but he dropped some bars recently. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, Verse,
Begotten.
So Begotten Son, Verse.
And Cynic?
Yeah. Again, another kid that I've worked with. We actually did a track. I don't even know why it's not out. We did a track with...
Cynic, why is that track not out?
With Toomey.
Mm.
So we got Toomey on that.
When he came Cynic. Through?
Yeah, when he was out here.
Mm.
So... I think his hooks are probably a little bit sloppy. It's hook, ass.
Hooks, collab album.
Or verse.
You know what? Yeah, or verse.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Hooks, S. F.
Collab albums with these kids, we won't be making money, man. We won't be making cash.
Yeah. So it's all about cash now?
Yeah.
It's always it's been. Moved
it's
from.
Always been. It's always been from those first letters that Terry taught us to write. Okay. That changed right, everything, all right. Man.
All right.
I would have imagined you doing like a kind of like a Distant Relatives kind of album, like, you know, that Nas and
with Cynic.
Yeah, kind of.
You can tell
this is a man with bills to pay, man. We can't be doing albums for fun. It's basically what he's saying.
Okay.
Yeah. God.
So
I'll give him a hook.
Even though you said they sloppy.
Yeah, I'll give him a hook. Just to let him off the hook. You know what I mean? I like Cynic. He's a good kid, and we've worked together. So no need to front on the kid. We've done work. We've collabed, and I actually gave him a verse because it was his project. So yeah,
imagine
just for this game, hook, because we've already done the verse. That's a given.
So based on the lack of choices, Comrade Fatso will be collab album.
Even though I said
that's the only option left,
I told him when I bumped into him that day, more you've fallen off as an artist, my guy.
Yeah, but anyway. Comrade Fatso is after you, by the way, Sally. I forgot to tell you that.
As an artist, I said as a businessman and community builder.
Comrade Fatso fell off.
As an artist, I said as a community builder and a businessman, he's way up there.
As an artist, he's not active, and as he was never really an artist. I think he was just trying.
I don't think he's confirming you. He's not confirming.
I think Fatso just wanted to bring home an agenda, and he used the vehicle of music because poetry. He was in that circle. Yeah. And, you know, I think he just wanted to get his leg in to actually becoming what he's, you know, he is now and what he's doing. He's still doing a lot for the culture. But I think as an artist, I think he was really wasting his time. Yeah, no, I didn't feel his stuff.
Plus, he
at
didn't
all.
Check out as well. His leg is still in the game, so we'll charge him like he's still in the game.
Okay, that's
so he fell off. He fell off, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's too much credit because
but
I don't think he was ever on.
How do you fall off if you were never on?
He's never on.
He was never on. So how do you fall off?
And that very day, he was threatening to release an album just 2 weeks ago. I don't know how far.
I don't know.
Comrade Fatso.
He's
doing a lot for the community. I'm not going to take away that.
Comrade Fatso. He's doing a lot for hip hop.
He's doing a lot
He's brought some amazing acts here. He's created such a great platform, and I love him for that. But I would never, he would never be on my list of collabs, on any kind of collaboration. So besides trying to get my artist maybe onto one of his platforms.
Yeah.
You know, for management or for booking, definitely he's on speed dial. But for artists, you know, collab and whatnot, not really, man. I'd even have to pass on that one. Sure. Pass.
So I guess this is going to be like the Namas where there was a category where there was no winner recently.
That was a pass. That was a pass.
So did that happen with any nominees?
They were there, but they just found the work not being worthy.
So why were they nominees?
No, and some of the nominees came from outside of Harare, which was very...
No, my question is, why not just scrap the entire award? Why have nominees, have them come to the show, and then say, you know what?
They're being
none extra. None of you deserve it. What is that?
They're being extra.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
They're being extra.
And nominated for none deserving to be nominated.
No, what is that?
But
that is
silly. Nominees for those who don't deserve to be nominated.
First time I'm hearing about that.
Really?
For real?
It's been all over,
wait,
man.
What categories?
What category
those?
Was
that? To do with 3D films or something like that.
So why have the category then?
It's crazy.
That's ridiculous, man.
Man, so many discrepancies with this year's Namas.
No, those Namas, whoever organized that shit, they need to like go back home and start again.
People were complaining about those awards anyway.
Huh? Yeah,
people were saying it was just sloppy. Again.
And what I heard about the Namas were Amara Brown's fans not being happy that she got snubbed. Yeah, but I did look up Janet, but she's got quite a following as well. So she's not a nobody. She's got a talk show.
I'm not saying she's a nobody. I'm just saying that's all I heard about the Namas.
Yeah. Okay. I just heard word on the street that probably. Let's
summarize this up.
So I just want to ask a question though.
Yeah. Sure.
So when you thought metaphysics, those are the three artists you thought I deserve to be asked, honestly.
Okay. Here's the honest truth. This Hold was on. Remixed on the spot.
Uh-huh. So but who came up with those three artists?
You can blame Celatine for that one.
You can blame leaving him in the cold for this game. Okay. No, I just put some artists with some stripes. I didn't want to put someone who's just giving melodies on those.
Because you guys didn't even make that difficult or anything. That was...
You didn't make it difficult, Celatine. Celatine, that was sloppy.
That was sloppy.
That was as sloppy as the people who were sloppy at the
Amex. The category, yeah. You could have been nominated on one of those sloppy categories.
I put Sun a Visionary. I put a Legendary Young Wordsmith Cynic. What else I put? And I put a Community Builder who's kind of falling off a little bit.
That's okay, just to set him up, man. I know you were.
Yeah, probably.
That's why you put Comrade Fatsobay. You set him up.
Probably.
Listeners, I am not involved.
But I'm just glad. Yeah, but shout out Begotten. Shout out Cynic and shout out.
So let's summarize the segment, man.
Comrade Fatsobay.
HAV, Hook, album or verse? Begotten Son. Verse.
Cynic hook.
Comrade Fatso, there was no pass, but
no, no smash, no pass. The path.
Hey, let my man do an interlude or something, man. But anyway.
Oh, man.
Look, man. Tap dance in the
metaphysics, it was great having you on Keep It Real Fridays, man. We had a blast. Tell people where they can find you online if they want to work with you or if they need help from social media.
You'll find me metaphysics keywords. I'm out there like how we are right now in the garden with the crickets in the background and all of that, the ambience of just Zimbabwe, you know, in Africa, Zimbabwe.
Former president's birthday.
A youth day brought about by a 94-year-old. That's ironic.
It is. But anyway, it's Keep It Real Friday. Your boy Metaphysics. I was doing my thing, and it's nice that you cats came all the way to do this. All
right. Feel free to call us up anytime, my guy.
Easy.
And Brian, where can the people find you?
Brian Willis, no relation to Bruce. You can catch me on Facebook, Cashbit Brian Willis. On Instagram and Twitter, it's @ Brian Willis ZW.
What happened to Cashbit 87? But anyway. I am Celatine, Celetine, # social architect.
Yeah.
And we are.
And Comrade Fatso's ass kisser.
What's coming for us? But anyway, we are the mighty.
This is where we cut.
Putting him on that list. You want something from him?
Not even. And we are the mighty, mighty Keep It Real Fridays, and we're out.
Keep It Real Fridays with Celatine and Brian Willis.
Military time.
There's always going to be dark days. There's always going to be people around you trying to amplify those dark days. But even through those dark days, know those days are the reasons why we can see the light. So when your light shines, shine and shine bright, don't let nobody dim you.
How did it come up last time?
He's building other artists. You can't say Jay-Z fellow.
You keep begging and you pleading for somebody to come save you. All that pressure got you under, got you feeling all defeated. So defeated anyway. Spirits down.
every level sends another driver to doubt ya. Your family and friends may be willing to count ya out now, but the now never matters until the future is found. Oh, I know you're weak and you're ready to call it quits.
Oh, I know
you're deep in the dark and don't know the steps.
All I know,
but this ain't a wedding. You beat your own drum, do your own dance and own that. So what's next? Steady on the self-hate. Try to be kinder to the face you find in the mirror as you climb up. Heaven is a mile away. Try to smile and wave at every hater, cause any day could be time up. Fall to the feeling of the floor, don't hurt ya. Call to the heavens and they won't desert ya. Grind till the nights feel just like days. Till the nights feel just like days.
Capital 263.